This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Businesses can use technology to aggressively keep costs down, but so can shoppers.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Stores are counting receipts from the four-day shop-o-rama, 5 days if you count so-called Cyber Monday yesterday, when folks used work computers to get through their holiday list digitally. IBM reports today that online sales yesterday were up 20% from a year ago. On Tuesdays, we check in with Julie Neiman, analyst at Smith Moore & Company in St. Louis. Morning, Julie.
Morning, David.
How do you put all this retail data together? People are buying, but they're being shrewd?
Well, that's it. There's a lot of gloom and doom out there about retail sales. What we got to focus on, though, is retail sales are changing dramatically. The price of everything is going to start dropping pretty automatically, simply because retailers are seeing their profit margins erode. They're going to have to do what the rest of America is doing, focusing on how to do more, better for less. That's the modern economy, and retailers really haven't jumped into this yet.
So turnabout is fair play. We keep doing these stories about how companies are using tech to drive down costs. Now you're saying consumers are also using their technology and their wits to keep the bills down. Take that, retailers.
Well, it's being what's happening to them. They don't have the money to spend, so they're spending very cautiously. They're not impulse shoppers anymore. What they're buying are things for the home. They're buying electronics. They're buying things that will affect their everyday lives. So the whole era of shopping as being amusement or entertainment is pretty much over. Retailers are going to see a very focused shopper.
Julie Neiman at Smith Moore & Company in St. Louis. Thank you very much.
You bet.
There's word just now that China is responding to an American trade grievance by taking the issue to the World Trade Organization. U.S. officials believe China has sold solar panels and other goods below cost and has hit $8 billion worth of Chinese imports with anti-dumping duties, but now China will argue that is not fair. Most corporations make their voices heard loud and clear in Washington. Other interest groups are good at this, think retirees. But some experts argue that one demographic has no voice at all in Washington. It's a group that's suffering sky-high unemployment. Joining us is journalist and economic policy consultant Jeff Madrick, who writes the Anti-Economist column in Harper's. Mr. Madrick, good to see you.
Good to see you, David.
Who are we talking about? Who's this group?
We're talking about the young, 16 to 24, rapidly becoming the most disadvantaged group in America.
Unemployment is running nationally for young people, about 17%.
It's outrageous. And when you don't get a job when you're young, it has ramifications for the rest of your life.
Let's talk about some of the reasons this is happening. First of all, we know what the job market is like, and many college graduates are taking the jobs that used to be summer jobs for young people.
And so are older people. They can't really retire, or they want to work a little bit, so they may work in a retail shop. But the young are on the path towards tragedy as a generation. As you say, the elderly and lots of other groups have strong lobbying efforts in Washington. The young certainly do not, and we're only becoming aware of that.
It can define a person's earning ability for the rest of their lives if they're late in getting into the workforce.
Their self-esteem for their entire careers. Maybe, in fact, the popularity of movies like Hunger Games is reflecting this dissatisfaction with the establishment. Occupy Wall Street. So you wonder, is rebellion the only way you're going to get some justice out of the nation? I hesitate to say that, but it would not be unprecedented.
So if something ever were to light a fire under policymakers to try to intervene in this place where there seems to be such need, what are some of the ways we should think about that?
I think we need government here. AmeriCorps is a great program, but it's not being funded substantially. Youth Build that gets young people construction jobs to help build that infrastructure we're all talking about. Direct job creation is not it should not be overlooked in America, and it has been for too long.
Harper's columnist Jeff Madrick is also a senior fellow at the Roosevelt Institute. Mr. Madrick, thank you very much.
Pleasure to see you, David.
Today, the government's Consumer Financial Protection Bureau is putting out a new rule to expand its supervision of student loan servicers that operate outside the banking system, which turns out to be most of them. Marketplace's Chrissy Clark is here. Morning, Chrissy.
Good morning.
What are these regulators after?
Well, Americans, don't forget, owe more than $1 trillion in student debt. And in the last year, government watchdogs have been looking into thousands of complaints from those folks. There have been lots of complaints that the institutions who collect people's monthly payments try to maximize late fees, that paperwork often gets lost when loans are being transferred. One of the biggest complaints involves what happens when a borrower has multiple loans she's trying to pay back, all with different interest rates. People have complain that payments they send in to knock out a specific high-interest loan are instead getting spread out across all their loans, which means those high-interest loans stick around for longer.
And what is the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau proposing to do about these complaints?
So the CFPB has already been keeping watch over banks that process student loan payments. But now the agency is expanding its watch to include so-called non-bank servicers. These are companies like Sallie Mae, Nelnet, and a few state and nonprofit agencies. In fact, most student loans are processed by those guys. And starting in March, the government will gather reports and conduct exams of how these guys do their business. Altogether, these institutions that are subject to this new monitoring manage more than 49 million borrower accounts.
Million. Marketplace's Chrissy Clark in Los Angeles. Thank you very much. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.